so tired. Okay, a couple of things just by way of introduction. Number one, it is always a pleasure to be able to be here and to learn here in this Beis Medrash. It is a, even more so, there are a lot of people in this room that I feel very, very close to, people that I get to spend time with every day, and a lot of people here that I don't, but I still feel very, very close to, and it's an honor and a pleasure to share Torah in this particular context. I'm also fond of just pointing out every year in the slot, the whole idea of this Hoshana Rabbah was envisioned by a very old friend, Willie Roth. For those of you that, Rabbi Willie Roth, that know him, who now works, I believe, as a lawyer, who had the idea years ago, and was, I think, involved in starting the first one of, why not Hoshana Rabbah night? There's a lot going on in Yerushalayim, but wouldn't it be beautiful if lots of different yeshivas could get together? And wouldn't it be beautiful if people would be able to learn Torah together? And it's an amazing thing. I like to say this all the time, that we have ideas sometimes that we maybe start, and sometimes they continue year after year, and it's a credit to him that all this is happening, and a thanks to Rabbi Tarragon as well for all of the organization. Let's start like this. So there's a whole lot to be said about Talmud Torah in general. It's late in the night, and I figured enough people would speak about Hoshana Rabbah that you would forgive me if we didn't speak again about the importance of, like, the Hoshanas. So it's Simchas Torah tomorrow, and therefore it's appropriate to speak about Torah. So let's... I think I just, you know, sold everyone on why that's relevant. Let's go like this. One of the more important questions that people are going to struggle with, one of the more important questions you'll have whenever you go into a Sfarim store or whenever there's a portion of your day in which you're going to choose and you have some independence as far as what you're going to be learning, is what do I choose to learn? There are a lot of Sfarim out there. There's Sifrei Halacha. There's Sfarim of Lamdus. There's Tanakh. There's Kabbalah. What exactly, in general, am I going to choose, am I going to learn? The Medrash in Mishlei, and Medrash commenting on the Pesukim in Mishlei, the Medrash has a very scary kind of an observation. Many of us are familiar, I would imagine, with the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph, discussions in general, La'asid Lavo, when it's Yom Hadin, when we're going to be standing there, clapping in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so we're going to be asked certain questions. And the Medrash here elaborates a bit on what you find in certain cases in Chazal. What exactly do I have to know? What do I have to know, achar meyav ve'esra? So Gemara says, the Medrash says, balafan of mishis biyado mikra ve'im biyado mishnah. If I learn Tanakh but don't know Mishnah, so I'm not in a good place. And if I come and I know some siddharm of Mishnah, but not all of it, so I'm going to be asked, why didn't I learn more than that? And if I know halacha, but I don't know Torah's kohanim that involves tumma and tara, so I learned Zrayim, Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, and Kachim, but I didn't learn Taros. So, La'achar Me'ev Esrim, the Medrash says, it's going to be a little bit intense. It's going to be a little bit intense. And if I come with Chumash, I come and I feel like I'm really good. I come with Talmud, and I'm all good. So, I'm going to feel comfortable. But then I'm going to be asked, Yipisa B'Merkava, did you learn Kabbalah or not? And if I say, you know what, it's true, I learned all of Chumash, and I've learned Shas well, and I know Talmud, and I know Halacha, and I feel like I'm in a good place. And the Medrash says, but there's in a certain sense, a requirement to learn, like, kimat everything. And one of the questions that, you know, it's overwhelming in a certain sense, but it frames, I want you to frame the issue a little bit, as far as what exactly I have to learn, and what svarim should I be learning. What does it mean to learn Chamisha Chumshei Torah? That means on a level of pshat. It means that my eyes saw Chamisha Chumshei Torah. What does it mean to learn Shas? What's, like, the definition? When the Medrash describes how there's an expectation, or when the Alter Rebbe of Chabad passed into Shulchan Aruch Harav, and if Moshe assumes an Igros Moshe and others, that we have an obligation to see all of Torah. So, like, what does that mean? What does it mean as far as what text do I have to learn? And more than that, what does it mean to learn a text? What does it mean to learn? I've learned Mesech HaSukkah. So, like, what does that mean? What are the goals? What defines called a limit of Sukkah? We're going to speak tonight about two different worlds. I think we've started to do this a little bit here on Hoshana Rabbah night. It's a series of shiurim that take place once a year, and not even every year. Comparing two schools of thought that I know I find to be fascinated by, and I find to be interesting. One is the world of Breslov, and the other is the world of Brisk. What do they think about what kind of Torah I need to really be learning? And what kind of Torah, here's almost the more intriguing question, what kind of Torah should I not be learning? Okay, so it's very nice to say, like, there's no Torah you shouldn't be learning, and everyone should be learning all Torah, and that's very, very nice. Okay, and it is very, very nice in a certain sense, but it's not necessarily reality. And in reality, so there are certain things that maybe I have to make choices. So in those choices, so what are those choices going to be? And what things should I learn? What things should I not learn? What we're going to do is we're first going to begin speaking about Breslov a little bit, and then we'll speak about Brisk, and we'll learn, I think, some really interesting Torah here. And let's go as follows. I assume it's obvious that if you are the Gra and you ask the Gra what Torah should I be learning, so Torah Chassidus is not making the list. It's not on that list. You don't have to be too fancy of a historian to know that that was not where the Gra was really at. Although Chassidim did try to spread a rumor at the end of the Gra's life, I mean, it's today, the end of the Gra's life, spread a rumor that the Gra actually regretted his opposition to Chassidus, and the Gra said that he's too old now to tell everyone, but in truth, he wants to publicize that really he's pro-Chassidus, and he regrets the opposition. Now, many of us know, just based on our own like fine historical sense, that's not what happened at all, but we can imagine it's clear, a very famous letter associated with the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem Tov asked Mashiach, Emasai Asimar, it's an 8th day song also. When's Mashiach going to come? That it's about Chassidim believe in spreading the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov. Okay, that's pretty obvious. Breslov's going to be into learning Breslov's Sfarim. You don't need to come here for that at all. What Torah, within Breslov and Brisk, we'll speak about one kind of Torah you shouldn't be learning, or on some level, and one kind of Torah you should be learning. What kind of Torah does Rabbi Nachman think you shouldn't be learning? So here's a very surprising line. So Chassidus is good, but here, Rabbi Nachman, Tzichos Haran Simen Mem, many of us may be familiar with this, B'inyan Sifrei HaMechkarim. So Sifrei HaMechkarim, Mechkar, nowadays has certain connotations. Mechkar now may mean like academic study of things. Mechkar is an academic approach to learning Talmud. But university, it's Mechkar. It's not what Rabbi Nachman means. It wasn't invented yet at that time. Rabbi Nachman means he's talking about Sfarim that are philosophical, that deal with questions about how we can prove God's existence and the like. Says Sifrei Mechkar Mevurah Kvar Etzleinu Kama Pa'amim She'asar La'asok Bahem. Don't learn those kinds of work that are influenced by philosophy. V'tzarech L'harachik Me'od. Run away from those Sfarim, and here we'll skip a line, Afilu. If only this was in order, wouldn't that be much smoother? That Afilu was a good one, though, no? It's not good. I could look more sloppy, I'm sure. I don't know how, but I'm sure it's possible. Says Rabbi Nachman, never mind, it's here. Afilu b'sifrei chakiro shel gedolei Yisrael. Rabbi Nachman says, even in the world of philosophy, sifrei machshava, written by gedolei harishonim, works that are philosophical works, written by gedolei Yisrael, where Rabbi Nachman's line is, ki hu iser gadol me'od lilmod osam. Rabbi Nachman telling us you can learn a whole lot of things, but don't start getting involved in philosophy. Those of us that are familiar with the Chovos HaLevavos, let's say, some of the opening sections that deal more with philosophy, the proving of God, and things like that, for Rabbi Nachman, that's wrong. Don't go there. Why does Rabbi Nachman believe that? Why should you avoid Jewish philosophy? Why is it a form of Torah, which he thinks you should avoid? He doesn't avoid learning Chassidus or learning certain Sifrei Musar, but philosophy's bad. How come? Because part of Rabbi Nachman's Shita in general, in particular, about Emunah, many of us know, the greatest faith is the innocent faith of the ordinary man, Emunah Pshuta, that a person is supposed to have a simple approach to God, a simple approach to Emunah. It's not supposed to be proven. It's supposed to be intuitive. It's supposed to be clear to me. I'm not supposed to ask certain questions. I'm not supposed to delve into certain areas. I am supposed to believe, and that's it. And for Nachman, what that means, and here what's fascinating, many of us, I think, are brought up in a world which is very much opposed to censorship. We grow up in a world in which you want to have as many things on your bookshelf as possible. We want to be exposed to lots of different ideas. For Nachman, that's not true. For Rabbi Nachman, the greatest faith is the innocent faith of the ordinary man, and be careful learning those kinds of works. That is Torah to avoid. It's Iser Gadol Limud Mehem, Afil Sifrei Chakiro Shel Gedolei Yisrael. It's a wild idea of Rabbi Nachman. Obviously, we could envision those that argue with Rabbi Nachman, i.e. the authors, those Gedolei Yisrael, who say that, so the Rambam's not there. The beauty of it, I'll make a point because I think it's an important one, much as Rabbi Nachman says, it's Iser Gadol Limud Mehem, he calls them Gedolei Yisrael. That in of itself is a lesson. That I could say it's a bad book and you shouldn't learn it, but by the way, they are Gedolei Yisrael. That's already a very, very powerful insight. It's a very, very powerful insight, one thing to avoid. What should I be learning? So here we're going to speak about how Rabbi Nachman thinks you should be learning Gemara, Halacha, and many Sfarim as a whole. And here's a bit of it's a Chiddush Rabbi Nachman. Many of us, I imagine, may be familiar with it. Rabbi Nachman says like this. You know, in Likutei Moharan, in Aleph Kuf, Rabbi Nachman writes in Chelek Aleph, Likutei Maran, in Torah, Kuf Aleph. So it says Rabbi Nachman like this. Learning Gemara Be'iyin is a wonderful thing. Learning Gemara Be'iyin is a wonderful thing. He thinks, Derech Hainu Misha Lomei Be'iyin, Shema'ayin Umeivin Chachmas HaTorah, Shezeu Bechinas Ampir Nehirin. The idea in Torah Sakabal, Rabbi Nachman says those who learn Iyin has a way to do something to them, has a way to highlight and to bring out something within them. Rabbi Nachman's learning Iyin is great. Now the question is, what does he mean by learning Iyin? And what does that really look like? So in Sichos HaRan, Ayin Vav, Sichos HaRan, it's a very famous piece of Rabbi Nachman, where he describes the way that he thinks you should learn. Rabbi Nachman maintains as follows. Some of us, I'm sure, know this. Let's give it a little bit of an introduction. Rabbi Nachman says, quoting different Ma'amari Chazal, you got to read through things really, really quickly. You got to read through things. Now, Rav Shach in Letters has a line where he sounds similar to this, but it's not the same thing. Rabbi Nachman writes that when you're learning in general, Shulchan Aruch, as an example. He said when he was young, he learned Shulchan Aruch three times. First time he learned Shulchan Aruch, he went through it just very, very quickly, get basic shot of what's going on. Okay. Second time he learned Shulchan Aruch in order to understand the makar of every din, where it comes from in Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos, what's the makar of different halachas. The third time he learned Shulchan Aruch when he was younger, all the way through. The third time he learned it to learn the sodos that are there and hidden behind the halachas. One of the things you already see there, before you get to the derech too much, is going through things a couple of times. And for Rabbi Nachman, the Sefer Likutei Halachos, all the Torah that you learn can be learned on multiple levels. So there's one level of Torah called the level of Pshat. And there's a level of Torah in the world of Halacha, being able to identify what the din is and what the makar is of those Halachas. But part of the Chiddush of Rabbi Nachman is even when you learn things like Halacha, you can also understand within Halacha a lot of the machshava behind it. The Sefer Likutei Halachos by the greatest Talmud, Rabbi Nassan, is all really taking Halachas and trying to derive the machshava, Kabbalah, Chassidus, behind those halachas. So Rabbi Nachman, as far as an end game, is understanding that Torah can be perceived on multiple levels. That Derech Agav is part of the Simcha of Simchas Torah. But we have a different time. Remember Salvechek, that the greatest kavod you can get in Simchas Torah is Chasam Bereishis, because the greatest kavod that you could ever experience is the greatest, sorry, schus you could have is when you finish learning something, starting to learn it again on a deeper level. Rabbi Nachman's a believer, you learn Chumash, it's a wonderful thing. Now let's learn it on a deeper level. That's true for Halacha also, but what can we really derive from it in a way which can be very, very meaningful? But in your learning itself, Rabbi Nachman understands, some later Breslover Chassidim Taina, this is only a function of Yiridus Hadoros. That in a perfect world, Rabbi Nachman wouldn't be saying what he's saying right now. But in a world of Yiridus Hadoros, Rabbi Nachman says, but what are we going to do? Because people have to learn a lot of Torah, but it's hard to learn a lot of Torah very, very well. So what did you do? So his Eitzah is, just cover massive amounts of ground. Just learn through everything. But I'm not going to understand everything I'm reading. That's okay. What I don't understand right now, I'll be able to eventually be able to make up. And there's Toelas, says Rabbi Nachman, in being able to learn a lot. Rabbi Nachman said once, I think, in Tzich Haran, they say, that in the time between, I think this is a line, I may be misquoting a little bit, in the time between people getting to shul and getting ready with their tefillin on to start davening, he could learn four blot of Gemara. Not because he's claiming, like, I'm the biggest genius ever, although he, in likelihood, was a massive genius, but because he's read it really quickly. And read it really quickly, without that much understanding, is considered to be, in and of itself, very, very valuable. And he says, V'sipri menu harbe, tamen ha'yeli mudu b'mihiris gadol ma'od. He would say to go really quickly, reading all of like Shulchan Aruch with all Magen Avraham and all Taz. Just read everything, read it so quickly. But I don't understand that much. What do I do? I don't understand that much. So he said, no, not the biggest deal in the world. Not the biggest deal. You'll be able to eventually get it as long as you cover massive amounts of ground. So eventually, Rabbi Nachman says, you have to learn Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. Eventually, he's not holding in the world, he's not emphasizing that much. Talking about Gemara Tosfos, knowing that well, covering lots of ground, talking about learning Halacha well, those say Kalim and the like. He's not speaking about learning, you know, classical Sifrei Lamdas. But for Rabbi Nachman, that's what learning looks like. It's a whole lot, really, really quickly, and what you don't get now hopefully will be okay. What about Chazara? So for Rabbi Nachman, Chazara is going to take place, but it's going to take place once you finish the whole book. So I'm learning Minchas Chinuch right now. No, it's a new year. I want to start learning Minchas Chinuch on each Parsha, say Bereishis, it's a little bit easier. So I decide I'm going to start doing it. So I read through all of Minchas Chinuch, like really quickly, like all through Minchas Chinuch, like the whole book. All, however many volumes, depending on what edition you have, three volumes, standard edition. I go through and I get that, Just chazer, you'll go over it again, and then you'll see it, and you go through it again. And you're learning at such a fast pace that you're going to see everything. Now, the problem in practically implementing Rabbi Nachman's Torah is that, well, that only really works if you're going to be coming around again and again and again to be able to see it. That was his expectation. To see something once, I remember once being at a Sima Shas, so it was very, I mean, the person who made it, unfortunately, was Nifter. But I remember him saying, he was not a Talmid Chacham type at all. So I went over, I said, you know, Miles is definitely see him. So he said, I view this see him as my eyes have seen Shas. My eyes have seen Shas. It's very, very holy. That's very, very holy. For Rabbi Nachman, that's a real mila. I'll give you one addition in a second. But for Rabbi Nachman, the real goal is to then go through it again and again and again. And that's true for Sifri Halacha also. Now the tricky part with Sifri Halacha is, Sifri Halacha, you have to actually keep Halacha. But I'm learning it at a pace which I may be making mistakes. But even though I'm learning it at a pace where I may be making mistakes, that's how I have to do it. Now Rabbi Nachman ends the piece with something which is really, really just, I find to be so, so beautiful. The last paragraph here. Gam Amar Lebal Yenifal Miseh. You know what? I'm speaking a lot to Rabbi Nachman. Okay, stay away from like philosophy. It's a terrible thing. Okay, embrace learning Gemara and Halacha really quickly. But maybe a guy's going to say, you know, I have to learn so much every day. Like, what? I can't do it. It's not going to happen. Instead of Gam Im Eino Zocha Lilmod Kol Kach, even if you can't learn that much, Afal Pichin, you can still be a good Jew. And even if you don't learn that much, Rabbi Nachman said, you can even be a tzaddik. You won't be a lamdin, but you could be a tzaddik who's not that learned at all. Rak Bahasaga Ein Yechol Lios. You're not going to be called a person that's striving for more. But could you be a good person? Could you be a tzad without learning? Undoubtedly so, says Rabbi Nachman. Undoubtedly so. So what you have is as follows. Chazer, Rabbi Nachman, a little bit, as far as the Torah to learn and Torah to avoid. So what am I doing for Rabbi Nachman? I'm going to be, step one, I'm avoiding the world of Jewish philosophy and philosophy as a whole. I want to embrace simple faith. I'm going to be learning at a very fast pace, going through things, but making sure I go through it again, and then again, but the whole thing. And number three is realizing even if I don't attain that, I could still be a good person. I could still be a person that's really wonderful. So suggests Rabbi Nachman in general. Now, part of the Maila of Breslov, of which there are many, is they actually tell you these things. They quote Rabbi Nachman telling you how you should learn and what a Breslov Mahala is. One of the challenges with Brisk is that Reb Chaim never wrote anything telling you what it means to be a Brisker. Those of you that read Mishpacha magazine, so aside from making a good choice about what you read, so in the Sukkos edition of Mishpacha magazine, so Yisrael Besser, who is a fantastic writer, some great biographies, wrote about Brisk. He had a great article by Shmuel Kamenetsky, if anyone has not. You should read that. It's super kedai. But he also, it's a great way to make this aura. Mishpacha magazine, I'm not making a plug for it, nor do I. It's a great way to get familiarity with figures on the scene nowadays in the Orthodox Jewish world. Which is good. You want to broaden yourself a little bit. It's a good place to broaden yourself. Shame openness. I said a bracha already. Not in a sukkah. I know. It's water. Okay. So Bris doesn't really tell you that much about them. They don't really tell you that much about them. What Brisk is very complicated. I want to make a hour. I make always talking about this stuff. I'm sorry for repeating it. Brisk is a particular mode of Gemara study and approach to life. It's an approach to life. What does it mean it's an approach to life? It is a way of learning. It's a particular way of learning. We live in a world nowadays where the word in many ways means nothing. No one alive doesn't give a quote-unquote Brisker shear. But they're also different. Let's define what we mean by classic brisk a bit. We're talking here about Reb Chaim and some of Reb Chaim's greatest Talmidim. We're talking about less of some of the more nuanced or way things have evolved. Brisk itself is a particular mahalach, which is very, very machmir. In general, a lot of chumras in the world of brisk. They're choshev for a lot of shittos from Rishonim that maybe we may reject. You're dealing with people that on real briskers will often deal on dal minim, will have multiple esrogim that they're going to be picking up every day. I spoke to someone on the second day of Sukkot who told me that day he took 8 esrogim. 8 esrogim he picked up. Because of Hashashat Morkov and they're from eight different places and you want to make sure that really it's going to be okay. Like it's a certain approach to Chumrah. Certain approach to how you learn Gemara. Now the problem is that there isn't like the how-to guide. Reb Chaim wasn't doing that. Now why Reb Chaim didn't do that is actually an interesting question of which is not for now. It's not okay that Reb Chaim viewed himself as changing that much the way things were done. Reb Chaim was in Volozhin for a while. When he came into Volozhin, so there's controversy when he initially came in, but Reb Chaim really, the Tziv was giving Shir, Reb Chaim took over in many ways, became immensely popular. Reb Chaim's Shir looked very different than the Tziv Shir. I'm going to get some introduction to this stuff. Reb Chaim's Shir was highly interactive. The Netziv Shir, you would come in, we're familiar with the Shir, the Netziv Shir was, I'm speaking, no one else asked any questions. At the end of the Shir, I'm going to leave. You can talk to me privately about that was the Shir of the Netziv. Speak to me privately. Reb Chaim's Shir was super, super interactive. Reb Chaim also didn't hold himself, the way he would interact with his Talmidim was ki'ilu they were peers. He didn't think he needed to like assert the power differential in that relationship. He was like Reb Chaim. Power differential was fairly clear. You know, he was like really good. So Reb Chaim was able, but the Shir itself was highly interactive. And there are a couple of components. Now what's tricky is, we don't have that much written, especially from early, those years in Volozhin. We have a little bit, but not that much describing what really like the derech of him and learning really was. The two places where the best descriptions, Ladati, classically, by Achronim, of Brisker learning, one is the Rav in a couple of places. Isha Halacha is not a bad place for that. And Zevin and Isha Mashita, those of you that are familiar with it a little bit. But what characterizes Brisker learning? Let's start like this. What learning should you not be learning? What do I avoid in the world of Brisk? What do I avoid? So it is known that when Reb Chaim was there in Volozhin, it's about the same time that the Musar movement's beginning. Now the Musar movement, here's part of the Machlokas, which is fascinating. The Musar movement does not believe that they are a Chiddush. The Musar movement believes that they are the true Misora of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Like Chaim Volozhiner, the founder of Volozhin, the Musar movement believes that they are the true Misora of Volozhin. Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of Zundel Salant, I believe. Zundel Salant goes to Reb Yisrael Salanter. Musar movement is bringing us back to where we should always go. So Yisrael Salanter begins the Musar movement, and what they want to do is get into yeshivas. So when it comes to Nevardik and Slabarka and Kelm, you start having yeshivas that you are going to start that are Musar yeshivas. It's yeshiva generally Mudim, but it's being started by Bali Musar. Volozhin is a pre-existing yeshiva, and they want to bring Musar into the world of Volozhin. And Reb Chaim opposes bringing a Musar Seder, into the world of Volozhin. Slightly different theories as to why that's so. Musar's for people who are sick. Musar's for people that are not in a good place. Baruch Hashem, here in Volozhin, everything is good. And Baruch Hashem, here in Volozhin, we don't really need it that much. So whereas in Breslov, they're opposing, not with the line of the Isser Gadol Me'od, to learn Jewish philosophy. So by Reb Chaim, there's opposition, at least towards bringing into yeshivas, Liman Musar. Like a Musar Seder. Akedei kach that ara yom hazeh, Brisk itself does not have a Musar Seder. If you're learning by Rav Avner Shua, you're learning by Rav David Salavechik, you're learning in Brisk, you are not going to have a Musar Seder. You may, ben astarim, go somewhere, whatever it is, but you're strict, you know, you get, I don't think you sign up for Brisk, you get like, you know, we get nowadays, it's like nice pamphlets of like coordinated, like what classes are being offered in the afternoon. It ain't happening in Brisk. But even if you would, so it wouldn't be that fancy, nor would it be that colorized, but that colorized was a word. But what you would get is, there's no, you'd be like, where's the Musar Seder? And so it's like, there is none. There is none. So where does the Musar come out in Brisk? So where do they give over a Hashkafa? Brisk has a very clear Hashkafa, and it's from Reb Chaim and downwards. So the Rav went, how much a different direction or not is not for now. But Reb Chaim was an anti-Zionist, a pretty big one at that, the Brisker Rav. Was either an anti-Zionist, or the way the Rav would probably say it, like he was not Mesiaches to Zionism as a reality. So, or at least to the state of Israel, he didn't like whatever, you know. So where do they give over Hashkafa if there's no Musar Seder? This guy comes to me. He writes a Mishpacha article, but it's Yadua for those of you that it's the Chumash year. The Chumash year is when they give it over. In the Chumash is so there may not be formal Musar. In the way of like every day, my learning seal sharm for a half hour after mincha or whenever Musar Seder is, wherever you have to be learning, if there is a Musar Seder. But what you are going to be able to have is you're going to get the Hashkafa. You're going to get the Hashkafa. The Hashkafa is going to be given over through the Chumash here. How are you going to do that in every single Parsha? So the answer is it's called creativity. Creativity. It's Parsha's Truma time. And you're like, how am I going to talk about what I want to talk about? The answer is everything's there if you're fine. You know, Pesocham, Pesocho, Gevalt, every Jew, and next thing you know, you're talking about, and there are Jews that aren't Pesocho. I don't know, whatever it is, you know, you choose the Parsha, we'll give you the way that you could, you know, use it as a springboard for anything. But the Parsha Shirim are big, we have the Brisker Talmidei Chamim, now who have Parsha, the Brisker Rav on Chumash, you know, the small black sefer on Chumash. That's a classic, and you get some Keturah there. So Chumash I do, but there won't be a real Mitzvah Seder. How do they learn Gemara? So what does the Limud look like? What does the Limud look like? What are the unique characteristics of Brisk in its classic sense? I'll share with you three or four qualities of it. There's a professor, from guy, I believe, wrote a book on Slobodka. So Shlomo Tkachinsky, I forgot how you say his name. He was, his master's thesis, I think from Hebrew U, was on how they learned in 19th century Lita, i.e. Volozhin and places like that, and Brisk. And he has a nice description as to things about Brisk. Let's point out a couple of things. We'll talk about three or four unique qualities of Brisk, if that's okay. One. They are really not into, in its purest sense, look at early Brisk, they're not into Achronim that much. Not into Achronim that much. If you look at Reb Chaim on the Rambam, you will find, I believe the stats are something like the Shulchan Aruch once, the Ketzos once, Mechas Chinuch like twice. Like you're not getting a lot of Achronim. Chasam Sofer once. You're not getting a lot of Achronim in Reb Chaim on the Rambam. If you look as an example, reference this earlier tonight somewhere else, the Sefer, wonderful Sefer called Chidushi HaGram BaHagrid. I think it's one of the most inspiring ideas of a Sefer. Chidushi HaGram BaHagrid is HaGram Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Chaim's son and the Rav's father, and Rav Soloveitchik and the grid. It's a Sefer on Yoni Kachim. It's a masterful Sefer on Kachim. Why is it called Chidushi HaGram BaHagrid? Who wrote it? So they write in the introduction, it's not clear, because it was all the Torah that was learned together with the Rav and his father. And it's a Torah together, their Torah. It's father and son together. It's not clear what's the Moshe Soloveitchik. That's their Torah together. It's very inspiring. I was interested in this today. I happened to had a copy with me, T4. So when I had the copy with me, I was looking at the back. No, I'm saying I was just like, you know, chazer. So when I was looking at the back, at the index, i.e. when I was going through all of it, counting the Achronim. So they have in the back the Achronim quoted in that Sefer on Kachim. It's, I think, two Minchas Chinachs, and like no more than like 10 other Achronim in the entire Sefer or something like that. And even the Minchas Chinachs, if you want to know the real deal, they're almost always just to quote his questions and to give a different answer. It's always a setup. It's not like the Minchas Chinach betoras the Minchas Chinach. It's like, Yitaka asked a good question. What was his answer? Ask a good question. Let's go. So it's not that much of an emphasis on Achronim. Now what he points out in his master's thesis, which is a fascinating thing, is that what initially became a lack of emphasis on Achronim became in subsequent generations a whole new kind of Sifrei Achronim. Because now all the Briskers are writing their Achronish Sfarim. So now I have Reb Chaim on a Rambam and I have stencils. I have a Brisker Rav on a Rambam and I have other Talmidim. I have a Baruch Ber, I have a Baruch Shmuel, I have a Kovet Shiurim, and I have so many other Sfarim that are coming from the Brisker world of Achronim. The irony is the Mahalach that initially became not so much Achronim has now contributed to like massive amounts of Achronim. Akadekach, that if you're going to learn as an example Meseches Erchin, good luck trying to learn it not with, you know, Achronim, not with, get the Brisker Rav Shirim, the David Soloveitchik Shirim, the Michal Feinstein Shirim, he was son-in-law. So to be able to do it, it's something which is very like the Achronim company, it's clear it's what it was. Number two, which is fascinating and also ironic, if you find Derech HaLimud points ironic at times, which 2:30 in the morning, so who knows? I have a hard time thinking clearly late at night, so we'll see how this goes. A major shift that you have in Brisk is relationship to the Rambam in two ways. Number one, there is a heavy emphasis on the Rambam. Why is there a heavy emphasis on the Rambam, in particular Mishnah Torah? For a lot of reasons. One of those reasons, because Rambam writes on everything. And if I want to be able to understand everything, so what I have to be able to do is, I want to know, and that's what does he say about area X, but what about area Y? To be able to really fill it out, that's around Mishnah Torah. What's amazing what Brisk did to the Rambam is the Rambam writes his Hakdama to Mishnah Torah. The goal of Mishnah Torah is to give you clear halacha, just to be clear in terms of what you do. The Rambam does not describe Mishnah Torah as a work of analysis. What Brisk did was turn the Rambam into a primary explainer of Gemaras and a Rishon with Yisodos. So we're very much going to emphasize the world of Rambam. What's an additional quality of Brisk? So I'm learning Gemara, early Brisk. Forget the Achronim a little bit. I'm learning with a whole lot of Rambam. And here's another point with a quote from Rav Elchanan saying about Reb Chaim. There are very few Mesoras we have of lines that Reb Chaim himself said about Derech HaLimud. Reb Elchanan quoted in the name of Reb Chaim the following line, and here's the interesting thing. We said earlier that Yeridus HaDoros for Breslov may have impacted Derech HaLimud. That could be the part of the reason why Rabbi Nachman was saying, learn everything quickly. It was not a lichatchila. It was a Yeridus HaDoros. Nebuch, that's what happened. So all Derech HaLimud are going to deal with the fact that if you believe in Yeridus HaDoros, which, short of a book or two by Menachem Kellner, professor in Haifa, most of us believe in Yeridus HaDoros, lichora, at least in some capacity. For the head of yeshiva, Rav Cook had a bit of a kinesh in Yeridus HaDoros. We believe on some level in Yeridus HaDoros. So it's going to impact Derech HaLimud. So for Breslov, it may impact the pace in which you learn. For Reb Chaim, it's something else, which is, Reb Chaim held, our only job is not to be mechadis chidushim, our only job is to understand divrei harishonim. That's why the line which you'll hear sometimes someone saying, I feel like I'm not sitting in a Gemara be'ian shir, I feel like I'm sitting in a rishonim be'ian shir. And for Reb Chaim, that's called Yeridus HaDoros. We're not in a madrega to have our own perushim in the Gemara itself. We are on a madrega to be able to understand the rishonim, and that's our primary job. Now, next step, talking about it, for Reb Chaim, it's different than Chazanish. For Reb Chaim, when you're reading a rishon, the understanding is that there's often an underlying yesod, which is really what's driving the rishon there, that may or may not be as explicit always in what they say, but you can certainly infer it very, very well. So for Reb Chaim, I'm learning rishonim. It's the Gemara al Derech HaRishonim with the Kines that the Rambam is one of the great Parshanim, one of the great commentators on the Gemara, Shotayna Reb Chaim. And when I learn it in that way, I'm going to try to emphasize, again, what they said and what are the underlying Yesodos. At its core, many would point out, this is especially in the world of Reb Lichtenstein, how much this is entirely true for Reb Chaim, Ladati, is a matter of debate. But especially if you are learned by like Reb Lichtenstein impacted people, you tend to focus much more on what they would call primary questions. Primary questions. Not, has this Gemara fit with that Gemara? Or, how does this, like, it's much more like, what's the nature of this halacha? When does it apply? It's a din and what? It's much more almost like chakira focused. Now, if Lichtenstein did it in a much more extreme way than Reb Chaim ever envisioned or ever did. But that's certainly part of it. Here's one last piece about Brisk before we can like tie things together a little bit, have a summary, and then, you know, at least I'll be going to sleep hopefully at some point tonight. What we have is like this. Brisk is something else really interesting. So you have to have a degree of bekiyas to be able to say a svara. I have to know if I'm saying something. I'm learning the sugya of Migo, so I have to know enough about Migo to know whether what I'm saying is going to be true or not. I have to know the sugyas of Migo, or else I'm saying a svara that I don't know anything. So what am I going to do? I have to know what I have to know the details of it. You want to talk about Dal Minim or Shana Rabba? I have to learn Gemaras, Misach Sukkah, to be able to speak about it intelligently. The difference is like this: what svarim are you quoting? Forget Achronim for a second. What are they quoting? So one of the qualities in Bris, and this is something which is different than the Gra and the Netziv. Rav Shigar, for those of you familiar with Rav Shigar, he goes wild on this particular Nakuda, which is Brisk is very much internally focused. Internally focused. The Gra and the Netziv are doing a lot of work on other Sifrei Chazal, and on Sfarim like the She'iltos Rav Achai Gaon, and the Sifri and the Sifra and things like that. A lot of Brisk is, and in certain Achronim, you ever like learn an Achron, if you've ever been like, and you're talking about Dal Minim. And the Achron starts like going off about like Akasha from Chalitza. He's like talking about like a random sugi in Chalitza for a while. Then he goes to like a random sugi about Birch Hanenin for a while. Then he's back into like Sota and Birkas Kohanim. Then he's talking about like Karban Mincha. And then eventually he like comes back to the sugi of like, and that's Pshat here. And you're like, what? Okay. It's a style. It's like Pilpul was like that in a certain sense of bringing from all over the place. What you have in Brisk is much more internally focused. I have to know what I'm talking about or I'll say terrible ideas. But a lot of it's what's within the sugya. What do I see within the Gemara and within the Rashba and within the Ramban? It is never about how many Mekoros can you amass. It's about how well you understand that Tosfos. It's not about, wait, do I know, like, this is Tosfos and there's four versions of Tosfos and different Rishonim. And I can tell you we possibly like Tosfos. And Mr. Brisk says, at least Shasat Chak. And Moshe says, no, even Lechachila. It's not, no. Knowledge of Tosfos means understanding it as well as possible in terms of underlying Yesodos. And it doesn't really require looking into like a medrash from a different area of Halacha or looking at different Gaon. It's about focused learning. This is part of the reason why, other reasons also, but it's kind of like Rav Shetler writes about the Rav. The Rav never learned like Meiri. He wasn't learning every Rishon in the Sugya. He was learning the standard Rishonim and working within the standard Rishonim. Some suggest one of the reasons why Brisker is left Kachim. Kachim has very few Rishonim. So why is that exciting? Well, it allows more independence. It allows more independence, and it's something which is going to, again, afford me the ability to find my Tafkid and my understanding within it, within the Sugya itself. Within the sugya itself, which is something which I think is certainly important. Let me chazer what we did. And we'll end with a couple of points. We all have an obligation, pretty clear in Sifrei Halacha, we all have an obligation to learn Torah and to know Torah. Obligation to engage the Gizba Yom V'Laila, and also, Divrei Torah should be Mechudadim B'Ficha, like Mar, we have to know Torah also. But what does it mean to know Torah, and what kinds of Torah should I be learning? So not all Mesorahs in Klal Yisrael believe that it's all really going to be the exact same. And for some, for Rabbi Nachman, how could I not learn Sifrei Chassidus, but how could you learn work to use philosophy? And for Rabbi Nachman, don't spend too much time being medactic in a particular detail in a sugya, learning it be'ian. Just cover ground and learn the farsan and read through them and go again and again, and eventually you'll get it. Maybe because we're not in the Madrega to do it, but that's what you do. Now, Rav Kluger, for those of you holding, has like a little bit of a different take. That's not for now. Within Rabbi Nachman, but a different point of emphasis. For Brisk, there's something else. For Brisk, it's the Musar Seder. If you're sick, Nebuch, so you need some Musar. Okay, it's fine. For those of us that are, you know. Okay, so nowadays, whether we are all considered to be sick, whether the approach was entirely correct, most of us, I think, learning yeshivas with a Musar Seder, it's a wonderful thing to do, and we should learn Musar well. But in a classic Brisk, it's not a mandatory part of the day at all. What do I have to learn? I have to learn Shas. But what does it mean to learn Shas? So it means all of Shas, but it doesn't require like collection of shitos. It's about getting more and more opinions down. It's not reading the back of a Masifta. I'm like, whoa, there's 9 answers to this question, and the Shir is just like those 9 answers from the Masifta. No, it's understanding what you're learning as well as possible, looking at Rishonim in its core, even if I'm going to use Achronim at times, that's never my starting point. I eventually have to get to Achronim because they did a great job and they can guide me and they can help me and things like that. But it's never what the main thrust was, and it's looking at Rambam and it's using it in a certain kind of way. And for Brisk, it's not like, what do you mean? Do I have to learn Meiri or not? It's like, no, it's okay not to learn Meiri. Do I have to learn, like, I don't know, Mikrai Kodesh, you know, on Dal Minim? And the answer is like, it's okay. It's okay. I have to know Halachos of Dal Minim. But Brisk is not valuing coming to a practical halakhic conclusion anyway. It's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is understanding Dvar Hashem as Torah L'Shem Torah. And that's part of what it is. L'maisa, when we talk about completing and finishing Torah, what we're really talking about are different kinds of Torah. And what we're talking about is the Torah, we all share the same. Here's an important point, 2 points to end with. Number one, we all share the same primary sources. Everyone's starting with Tanakh, everyone's starting with Chazal, everyone's having Gedolei Rishonim. No one's not working within that approach. Everyone is. B'lish Shum Safek, we all are. However, one of the beautiful things about Klal Yisrael, is that there are within that different Mesorahs, and it's important that we have our Mesorah, it's important to have an appreciation sometimes of the value of other Mesorahs, and that I would just end Al Derech Drush. You can take it or leave it. It's a very famous comment. I quoted it recently. The Aruch HaShulchan in his Hakdama to Choshen Mishpat writes, why is all of Torah called a Shira? So why is Torah called a Shira? V'atakis v'lechem is a Shira Hazos. The Torah called Shira says the Aruch HaShulchan because when a song is really beautiful, it's often with a harmony. Think like, you know, Shabbos Yom Hashem. When it has a harmony of someone goes higher, someone goes lower, not all at the same point. We're going at different stages. When that's how it is, it becomes a beautiful song. Because Derech HaShulchan, that's how Torah is like a Shira also. Torah is like a Shira when you're able to appreciate how there are different things that come together very, very well. Different things come together well. If you're looking for a kavana to have, if you're like me sometimes, and on Simchas Torah, it's not always the easiest holiday for me. I'm not the biggest dancer in the world. You know, hakafas are not always a thing. But sometimes when there's singing during the Hakafah, when you hear the Shira of the Hakafah, one of the things that you can think about is a beautiful Shira of the Torah of Klal Yisrael. And the Shira that can have different perspectives that come together and form the beauty of the Jewish people, which is different Masorah. So what Sfarim do we learn? So Baruch Hashem, we all learn in yeshivas, we all have decent insight as far as the perspectives that we want to have. But it's important to broaden ourselves as far as the range. None of us are learning like pure Briskers, and none of us are learning like pure Breslovers. What we're trying to do is to get an appreciation of them, to feel like we have Masorah, but to be aware of the beauty that is Klal Yisrael, and we should be Zocha to sing, and not only to sing at the... during the Kabbalah, but the eventual Shir Lashem Shir Chadash, there should be a new Niggun where all the songs, as some of the tzaddikim say, where all the songs really come together with each person as far as being a beautiful harmony, where you can have, as one of the righteous people from generation ago used to say, that you can merge the lumdus of Rechaim Brisker with the spirituality of the world of Rabbi Nachman, and when that comes, we should be zocha to beautiful things. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.